Learning the sugya now on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and if you count on 12 lines down from the top, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We brought down a string of statements here that Rabbi Yochanan makes in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Miyom Shebara Hakadosh Baruch Hu Es Olamo. Now, please note that in a previous statement, on the top of Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Miyom Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu Es HaOlam. And here it says Olamo. Please note that change. Lo Haya Adam Shahodel HaKodesh Baruch Hu Ad Shebasa Lea Vahodasa. There was never anyone who thanked Hashem until Leah came around. Shenemar hapam ode es Hashem. Rashi says hapam ode es Hashem. Lefisha rosa beruach hakodesh Yaakov mamid shneimasar shvatim v'lo arba nashim. So Leah had ruach hakodesh. She understood that Yaakov was meant to father 12 tribes, and there were 4 wives. There was Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah and Zilpah, which means that each of the 4 wives would have 3, if it was equally distributed, 3 sons. Now, Leah gives birth to her 4th son, and she realizes that she's taking someone else's chelik, that Hashem is transferring over to her something that wasn't really Magila in the original plan, and she didn't deserve it. So Rashi says, Kevan Shiyoldelo Ben Revi, Hodes al Chelka Shaol Yoser Min Cheshbin Hamagila. That's the special Hodah of Leah. Now, the question here that we want to raise is the obvious question. Is it true that, in fact, historically, Leah was the first to be Moda Takarish Baruch? Is there no Hodah before Leah? For example, in Bracious Rabbah, at the beginning of the Chumash, Adam HaRishon was born on Yom Shishi. When he experiences Shabbos, he recited Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. That capital, Tilim Tzadi Beis, was actually authored by Adam HaRishon. We know that a lot of the different chapters in Tilim came way before David HaMelech. And this one dates back to the dawn of mankind. Tov lahodos Hashem, Tov lahodos Hashem. What a hodah, a beautiful hodah of Adam HaRishon on the Shabbos. So why is it that the Gemara, in the name of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, attributes the first hodah in history? There was never anyone in the world, lahaya Adam, mi yom shebara kodesh baruch hu solamo shahodah. So there are a number of answers to this particular question about Adam HaRishon, why he's left out of the picture, but we'll see that there are other questions, because even beyond Adam HaRishon there were other Hodos. But let's first deal with the question of according to the Medrash Adam HaRishon. So one of the answers that's given to this question is that Adam HaRishon was the first to give a hodah on something general, on Shabbos, as an institution, as an entity. And that's not what we call a davar mesuyam, meaning it's not something specific that you could pinpoint, you know, a particular, shall we say, ma'ora, an experience, like Leah giving birth to Yehuda. But more than that, what we find here in Adam HaRishon is not what you'd call a hodah. Instead, he says, Tov lahodos Lashem. Leah was mamish hodah. In the case of Leah, the pasuk clearly says, Hapam ode es Hashem. And furthermore, the Hodah, according to Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar of Adam HaRishon, was not hodah in the sense of thanksgiving. Like the word hodah in Lashon Kodesh has two different meanings and they're connected to each other. But hodah means to admit or to confess. Really, all of thanksgiving is an implicit confession. Because when a person gives thanks, he really expresses, at least implicitly, between the lines, that he doesn't deserve it. That's kind of a confession. Or moreover, that he doesn't get it on his own. He doesn't have the wherewithal and the ability, if left alone, to achieve, to acquire what he acquired. And therefore, he gives thanks. But the first level, which you can call an introduction to thanksgiving, is when a person realizes, hey, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it on my own. And at least according to one approach, that's the hodah of Adam Arishon. It wasn't a thanks for the goodness that God bestows, but rather it was a confession that he didn't deserve what he got because he had sinned. And really what Adam Arishon teaches all generations to come, he becomes the paradigm of being modeh al pshav, of confessing his sins, of what we call vidui. Vidui is from the Lashon, is another conjugation of the word hodah. To be modeh that he sinned, and to cease sinning, he becomes the personification of tshuva, and therefore, according to Chazal, he was saved from Gehenna. However, I want to give another answer to this question about what makes Leah's Hodah the first. And this is in the name of the Ben Ishchai and Ben Yehoyada. He writes that Leah is being molded not about the Welt, not about the world in an objective sense, something external to her, but something that's absolutely personal. Something that occurred to her. Her experience, her gain. No one came before her in that. Adam Arishon may have thanked Hashem for, if you will, the Chefetz of Shabbos as an objective entity. And he sees the glory, the greatness of Hashem, and he certainly sings Hashem's praises. But in the case of Leah, it's a personal hodah. And this is something I think very profound. Throughout the laws of Tefillah, we always find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to a lev nishbar. When a person beseeches God, it's because he himself is so dependent, is in such need. His heart, so to speak, is broken. And if a person could have prayed for himself and instead selflessly prays for someone else, is Chazal said that im hu tzarech li'ol so davar, he's mispal biad reyeu biad chaveru v'hu tzarech li'ol so davar, hu nene tchila, because although he's being selfless and he's putting forward the next one's interest and benefits before his, but nevertheless, he himself has that need. And inherent in his cry, in his tza'akat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is his broken heart because he needs it. That's on the level of tefillah b'toras bakash, but then there's tefillah b'toras hodah. And a tefillah b'toras hodah, when it's personal, is the greatest level of hodah. Of course, I can thank Hashem for something that took place in the world, that others gained and benefited from Hashem, but the highest and the most profound level of hodah is when I thank Hashem for what I experienced personally. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ashir Hashem ki gamal aloi, I personally experienced it. And that's why on Leil HaPesach, we sing what's called Shira. The Ran quotes the Gaonim who say that on Leil HaPesach, we're not reciting Hal, we're reciting Shira. The difference between Hal and Shira is that Hal is for some objective occurrence that happened, the great occurrence that happened to Klal Yisrael in generations bygone. But Shira is something that's personal. Shira is a spontaneous song of praise when a person experiences something exhilarating. He's given a great gift. And since Chayev Odom Liros Sasatzma Kiluhu Atzmo Yotzami Mitzrayim, I myself went out of Mitzrayim. That's a very personal hodah. The mitzvah Vigadita Labincha and the Haggadah that we read, Miloshim Vigadita, according to the Mefarshim, you'll find it in Targum, is Miloshim Hodah. And that's the hodah of Klal Yisrael, the Shira, when they left Mitzrayim, and that's the Odah that we experience because we personally undergo a redemption from Mitzrayim every 15th of Nisan at night because of Liros HaSatzmo. And Leah is now praising Hashem and thanking Hashem for a personal great moment in her life, a gift that she receives. And the way Rashi has it, the gift of a son that's beyond the bounds of what she was meant to have. But we'll see, again, on a deeper level, what's the connection between Har Hodah and Yehuda. Rashi gives his pshat, it's the number four that goes beyond the number three, but there's more than that. Now, to expand upon this question that we're asking, is it true that Leah was the first, that we quoted the Medrash Rabbah about Adam HaRishon, let's take a look at Malki Tzedek. This is in Breishis Yudalit. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Malki Tzedek says, Baruch Kel Elyon, Asher Mogen Tzorecha Biyodecha. Baruch Kel Elyon. This itself is a great song of praise, an expression of thanksgiving. Eliezer, for example, Eved Avraham, much later on in Chayisora, Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham. Again, the Lashon of Baruch Hashem. So if you would ask about Yisro, Yisro's reciting Baruch Hashem for all the Tova that Hashem did to Bnei Yisrael. First of all, that's after Leah, way after Leah. And second of all, Leah's greatness is that she's thanking Hashem for something that she personally experienced. Whereas Yisro is the observer from without. But in the cases of Malki Tzedek and Eliezer, Eved Avraham, we have explicit Baruch Hashem. I mean, Baruch Hashem, that's great. So the answer is that although all these experiences and expressions of Malki Tzedek, Eliezer, are expressions of Hodah, nevertheless, they're not being modeh for themselves. Malki Tzedek is being modeh on the Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Avraham Avinu from the great enemies. He allows Avraham Avinu to win the battles, and the Malachim succumb to Avraham Avinu. Eliezer is also being modeh on the Tova that Hashem did to Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu gave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu Yitzchak, and to Yitzchak he gave Rivka as a wife. And the next pasuk there in Perikov Dalet says, Asher lo ozav chazdo v'amito me'im Adoni Avraham Avinu. So again, we come back to this Yisoda Yisodos of the most profound, the highest level of Odah, says the Ben Ish Chai, is when a person is motive of something that he himself experienced. Adam karavetz al atzmo. When a person thanks Hashem for what he experienced, what he received, that's a very profound Odah. You know, it's very easy to look at others and thank Hashem for what others bestowed upon others. Sometimes we thank Hashem for nations. This, in a sense, we play the role almost of a third party, like a journalist. You know, the greatest, the most profound level of Hodah is when a person thanks Hashem for his own experience, his own salvation. And here, Leah receives Yehuda, and that's amazing. Now, before we ask the question, that on the very top of this Amud, when Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, speaks about Adam HaRishon's greatness, he was the first one who called Hashem by the name Agnus, and there it says, Miyom Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es HaOlam. Here, in the case of Leah's Odah, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, Miyom Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Olamo. And I'm not the first to notice this difference. The Tzlach, the Nodav Yehuda, notices it, and he has a Shtikl Torah, a presentation which I wanted to share with you. Says the Tzlach, at the time that Avraham Avinu called Hashem Adon, at that moment in time, the world was called Olam. There was no one who called Hashem Adon, because at that time, the generation of Avram were idol worshippers. They didn't recognize the power of Hashem, the might of Hashem, and his sovereign rule over the world. They thought that maybe God created the world, but after creation, He transmitted the world and its reigns, the reigns over the world, the control over the world to the heavenly constellations. They would guide the world and lead the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, is not interested. He's not involved in the world. So in other words, the status, the state of the universe at that time was Olamo. Excuse me, was Olam, but not Olamo. There was a world, and it was the world created by God. It was the Olam. But it wasn't Olamo. Avraham Avinu is the one who causes a transition from Olam to Olamo. By the time we get to Leah, it's Olamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're post-Avram, and in the post-Avram era, people recognize that God is not only the creator of the world, but God is the master over the universe, the Adon Kol, with his Yecholes, with his omnipotence and endless powers and might. He controls the world. Now the world is back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a new kinyan on the world, which, so to speak, he had forfeited as a result of the generation, and the generations of Avodah Zor. Now, through Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacquires, so to speak, the world, Kaviyachal, and Leah steps out on the scene when the Bai Olam, the people in this universe, already recognize and acknowledge that God is the Sholit, He's the controller of the universe, divine providence controls this world, it's already Olamo, and that's why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, in describing the world of post-Avram, the world of Leah, calls it Olamo. Beautiful interpretation and insight of the Tzlach. Now let's focus on the other question that we raised earlier, namely, why does the Hodah of Leah come specifically at the birth of Yehuda? We saw Rashi's Pshat, there were four wives to Yaakov Avinu, each one should have had three of the Shvatim, and she, Leah, now gives birth to the fourth Shevet. And the Rashba, you know, he wrote a Pirush on Haggadot, we've mentioned in the past. He writes, based on a Medrash, that there's more. Until Leah, there was no one who is zocha to this unique kind of a goodness of a tova. Namely, that something that's designated for so-and-so, for someone else, is now shifted, is now granted to this person who's reciting the Hodah, in this case, Leah. There was no one who had that extra dimension of chesed until Leah came along. That ribui chesed, in the fact that Leah got a portion that was designated for someone else. Again, we're not talking about something selfish. We're talking about the fact that Leah takes over a great deal of the push and the creation of Klal Yisrael more than her original chelek. To some extent, the fact that she was married first to Yaakov Avinu gave her a role of Ezer Kenegdo for Yaakov that supersedes beyond that of Rachel. And in a sense, she, Leah, takes over, so to speak, being the mother of Knesset Yisrael. And this is especially true with regard to Yehuda. Yehuda represents what we call the Avodas Pnim. Yehuda represents... So after the Rashba quote, after the Rashba's presentation about the Ribui Chesed, and we spoke about the fact that Leah, in her capacity as the first Ezer Kenegdo for Yaakov Avinu, was zocha to expand her scope and her role as the mother of Knesset Yisrael during that entire period of forging this glorious nation of Knesset Yisrael, the Rashba then quotes a Medrash. And the Medrash says that Leah Tofsa Es Umnus Umaisa Ha'odah. That Leah, in this context, in this Pasuk, Hapam Odes Hashem, is establishing an umnus of hodah. Like it's a profession, it's almost an expertise, and she's going to pass that on through her genetic spiritual DNA through the generations. And guess who's going to come from Leah and from Yehuda? That's going to be David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is the expert on hodah. And in the shiurim that we discussed back on Daf Dalid, which we did last week in the Iyun part, we mentioned that Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael, that when we praise Hashem, we stand on the shoulders of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech says, Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chazdo. David personifies the formulation and the sincere expression of Hodu Hashem ki tov. And included in the Hodav Leah is the birth of Yehuda as an extra chelek, so to speak, that she, Leah, zocha to. And basically, it's not just praise to Hashem, but it's even more than that, says the Rashba. She is saying, she's declaring that there are Ovdei Hashem, those who serve are dedicated, loyal to Hashem in their service to God, and sometimes, unfortunately, they are subjugated in a level of what's called shiflus. And when that happens, that has a tremendous ripple effect on the entire world. The faith in God goes down, and kfira, the denial of God, goes up. It's a seesaw. So then what happens is, as a result of the impact of shiflus chas v'shalom to the great servants of Hashem, emunah goes down and kfirah goes up. However, on the flip side, when the Ovdei Hashem are granted freedom and power, when they're left alone to thrive and flourish, and when it becomes obvious and recognizable that they are successful, then the hodah, the recognition of Hashem and His thanksgiving, His praise, is increased. Emunah goes up and kfirah goes down. And when we think about Malchus Beis David, we know that Malchus Beis David was successful, and at that point, David HaMelech is marbe ribui hodah Hashem. And even the Umos HaOlam are impacted by this. There were those who came from the nations of the world and they wanted to join the Jewish nation and convert. All this begins, this whole process that culminates in Malchus Beis David, when Malchus Beis David is victorious, is successful and powerful, all this begins with the birth of Yehuda, the ancestor, the forefather of David HaMelech. When Yehuda is born, and Yehuda is going to be the father of Malchus Beis David, that is the moment that she, Leah, will give Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what the Rashba calls Ribui Tova, this extra chesed. This extra chesed is going to engender hodah, but it's going to have a ripple effect, and it's going to increase hodah throughout the entire universe as history unfolds. It's all beginning with this ribui chesed of the birth of Yehuda, which ultimately leads to Malchus Beis David, and when David HaMelech is gover yado, there's going to be an increase of hodah, an increase of emunah and recognition of Hashem in the world. And this is only the beginning of the process, because from David we'll get Mashiach. Mashiach will come from the Zer of Yehuda, and Mashiach will control the universe. He'll call to the nations of the world to recognize the great name of Hashem, and their response will be, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Ach sheker nachlu avosenu. They're going to leave behind them all the sheker of generations upon generations of idol worship and denial of Hashem, and they're going to accept and recognize God. When they come to do tshuva, they, that means the nations of the world, all of them will recite Hodah and praise to Hashem. So the praise to Hashem that begins with Leah and continues with Yehuda all the way till David HaMelech, will ultimately culminate at its apex with Mashiach ben David, Mashiach from Shevet Yehuda. This process of Odah begins here at this moment, at this crossroads, Leah giving birth to Yehuda, Pam Odes Hashem. I want to add that the Vilna Gaon sees another insight here about the correlation between Leah's Hodah and Yehuda Dafka, the birth of Yehuda. Everything that man experiences is a little bit, in a sense, lacking. How does that deficiency express itself? It's not really shayach, it's not possible to give a complete, total thanksgiving for anything that man experiences. Man really doesn't know, he cannot recognize what is truly good, what is emes lamito good. Sometimes something looks good to him, you know, he won the lottery and who knows if it is, but it could be working against him, you don't know. Sometimes a person sees an experience, he experiences something which is evil, it looks evil at least on the surface, but yet it's for his benefit. So when can a person come forward and really give 100% genuine, sincere, true Hodah? Only at the time of Leah's Yehuda, with Leah's Hodah. And why is that? Because this is an absolute, unquestionable tova. It is tov in a certain absolute way, without any admixture of evil. Because from Yehuda there will be Malchus Beis David. And from Malchus Beis David comes the light of Mashiach. And from the light of Mashiach comes what we call Tikkun HaOlam, the ultimate perfection of the world. This is Hodah. Hodah, in the true sense, equals the perfection of the world. There are many other tovos, and Chazal established that we make a bracha on the tova, but yet the bracha falls short of this hodah, the paradigm hodah, namely the hodah of Leah at the time of the birth of Yehud. And here I want to mention the fact we had spoken before about the Medrash, about Adam HaRishon, that he also had expressed praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there were others who came before Leah. What's unique about Leah's Hodah? And here I want to mention the insight of the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chsam Sofer, and he says the following, that although the Avos that came before Leah had already expressed thanksgiving over miracles, but that was Shaloki Derech HaTeva. That was when God had to undermine the natural law. And that for sure engenders a Chiyuv Hodah. That's not such a big Chiddush. Leah's Hodah was a birth of a child, her fourth child, which is understood as a natural occurrence. There are many, many women who, Baruch Hashem, have many, many children. Four children, okay. But the answer is that Leah said, this is not nature. Leah points to Hashem, and she thanks God as being the source of bringing about this teva, so to speak, this nature of having a son. And then I want to share with you the insight of the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says the following. If Leah had not come forward with her Hodah, then one could have possibly said that it's not shayach to give Hodah to Hashem on goodness that He bestows upon us, because if we do so, then it looks like we're telling or we're declaring that the midos of HaKadosh Baruch, the attributes, the behavior of Hashem, is Rachmanus and Vatranus. It's almost as if implicit in Hodah is a denial of what we call Gmul meaning the strict laws of justice. to thank Hashem is almost to say, well, God just gives out gifts gratis. He bestows upon us all sorts of goodness that we don't deserve. And that makes Hodah a very tricky kind of action. We need the precedent of Leah to teach us that we're encouraged to recite thanksgiving. And that act of Hodah does not in any way undermine our belief in Gemul, that Hashem pays back man according to his Maisim. And perhaps we can add a little bit more to embellish this idea of the Pnei Yeshua. Hodah is very tricky for another reason. Because when a person thanks someone else, it's almost as if the recipient of his thanks gains something, benefits. When I thank you, I'm giving you a gift, so to speak, in return for the gift that you gave me in expressing my thanks, my appreciation. And therefore, it's only shayach to thank a human mortal being, Basav Adam, because you give him nachas ruach by praising him. But in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, isn't it an audacity on the part of man to thank Hashem and imply that Hashem needs our thanks? Leah is the one who breaks new ground. She teaches us this derech, this approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to Klal Yisrael. He himself, again, Kaviyochel, gets nachas ruach from the fact that we praise him and we express our thanks to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no need for this, obviously. He's perfect. But nevertheless, we have a mitzvah to be moda lefanav. And perhaps the precedent, the breakthrough, the license to be moda HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes here in the case of Leah, hapam ode es Hashem. We had asked the question earlier about why here it says miyom shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo, whereas earlier, with regard to Avram Avinu, who called Hashem the Adon, we don't find the word Olamo. And we gave the answer that this is the post-Avram period. We spoke about the unique nature of the Hodah of Leah, that she is being modah on Ribui Chesed, as we discussed at great length in the name of the Rashb. But in this context, let's mention the Gemara later on Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara asks a stira. The one pasuk says, "Intilim Lashem Haaretz Umaloa," which implies that Hashem is the owner of the universe. Another pasuk, "Intilim," says, "Hashamayim Shemayim Lashem Varetz Nasan Livnei Adam." And the Gemara distinguishes between Kodem Bracha and Liachar Bracha. Before Bracha is Lashem Haaretz Umaloa. After Bracha, it's Haaretz Nasan Livnei Adam. And maybe that could explain the unique nature of the Hodah of Leah. Before Leah, no one gave a Hodah, a Bracha, on Inyani HaOlam. The Olam, the world, was called Olam HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of Leah. Leah's Hodah implies that everything comes from Hashem. He's the master, he's the owner of the universe. And that's the Chiddush of Leah. That there's Nesina Shevach V'Hodah. And through that process of Nesina Shevach V'Hodah, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once we acknowledge that the world is His, Lashem Haaretz Umaloa, meaning now, Miyom Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, it was Olamo, but really because there was no Shevach V'Hodah, it remains Olamo. That's the transition, the impact, and the repercussion of Leah's Hodah and Shevach. Now, the Olamo becomes Haaretz Nasan Livnei Adam. That transition, that matir, that allows us to enjoy this world is the Shevach V'Hodah. And the breakthrough for that was Leah. HaKadosh, there were many people that were Moda before, and certainly Adam HaRishon, but they never Tudayf, as we say in Yiddish, they never accomplished that transition, that Olamo, which means Lashem Haaretz Umaloa, now becomes Haaretz Nasan Livnei Adam. That's the unique nature of the Hodah of Leah. That's the accomplishment of her Hodah. And this is an addition I forgot to mention of the Tzlach. Again, it was the Tzlach who spoke about the fact that it became Olamo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu after Avram Avinu taught the world to recognize that he, with a capital H, is the Adon HaOlam. But I wanted to share with you the second insight of the Tzlach, that the unique nature of the Hodah of Leah is implicit in the word Olamo. Because Miyom Shabar Kadosh Baruch is Olamo, meaning up until Leah it was called Olamo. We here on earth had no right to claim the earth and the benefits of the earth for and the enjoyments of the earth for our own, for ourselves. But here I want to share with you another insight. And this is quoted here in the Yalkut Biurim, in the name of the Gvul Binyamin. And he bases himself on a Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan says that there's something called Mazel. And the benefits that we have in this world fit into two different categories. There's some that come through Zchus Adam. We merit these pleasures and these bestowments of good, these good things that Hashem bestows upon us. There are those other things that come through Mazel. And the Gemara says that there are three things that are totally b'mazel: Bonim, Chaim, and Parnosa. Children, life, and sustenance. And these come not through Zchus Adam, but through Mazel. And therefore, it would seem l'chora that a person who has children would really turn to his mazel and thank, you know, say Hashukot to the mazel. He was born under a good mazel, and that caused him to have children. No, Leah says, yeah, bonim atluim v'mazel, but the mazels themselves and the way they move, the constellations, the astrological configurations, are all b'yodah shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, controlled by God. God can change the mazel. This is so that the Ramban repeats over and over again. And therefore, Leah teaches the world that we have to be modeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to thank Him even for something that depends upon mazel. Because mazel itself is nothing more than a power that's delegated by Hashem. And the emphasis here is that miyom shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo. Olamo is a reference to the mazel. Gemara continues, once we mention Rav Shimon bar Yochai with regard to the name of Yehuda, which is Miloshon Hodah, Hapam Odes Hashem, let's go on and speak about another name, and that's the name Reuven. Leah gives her firstborn son the name Reuven. Amar Abba Lazar, what's the meaning of the name Reuven? Amar Leah Reu ma ben bni leben chami. And here the reference of Ben Chami is to Esav. And Rabbi Lazar darshins now what is implicit in the name calling of Reuven, Reu Ben, right? Reu Ben means look at my son and how great he is compared to Ben Chami, the son of my father-in-law, which is a reference to Yitzchak, and the son of Yitzchak is Esav. De'ilu ben chami, afal gav demi daite, zavne, libcherusay. He himself, with his own decision, his own will, sold his bechora. De'chsiv ayimkar es bechora sol Yaakov. And yet, Chazumai Ksiv Bevayistom Esav Es Yaakov, the pasuk testifies that Esav harbored enmity and hatred against his brother Yaakov, and the pasuk says, Al Abrocha Asher Bercho Aviv. And the pasuk continues and says, Vayomer Esav Belibo Yikrivu Yemei Evel Avi Vahargas Yaakov Achi, I will kill my brother. And furthermore, the pasuk says, "Vayomer hachi karishmo Yaakov vayakveni zep hamayim." And he's a, and this refers to the bechorah. Hine ato now lokach berchasi. Esav is constantly complaining. He's embittered by the fact that Yaakov Kilu stole from him the Bechora and tricked his father to give him the Bechora. It's not true, because Esav sold him the Bechora. So that's Esav. Ve'ilu b'ni, but what about Reuven? Afal gavdi al karche, against his will, shakle Yosef l'berchusei mine. It wasn't that Reuven transferred ownership over the Bechora to Yosef, but rather the Chassiv, the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Tanakh, in Divrei Yomim, regarding Bnei Ruvei Bechor Yisrael, ki hu ha-Bechor, uvechalalo Yitzuei Aviv, nitna Bechorosol of Bnei Yosef. The Bechor was ripped out of the hands of Ruvein and given, transferred to Yosef. So it was not an act of transferring ownership, mi daito, you know, willingly. It was just taken away from him against his will. Vafilu haki, nevertheless, lo ikane be, he didn't harbor any jealousy against Yosef. Dichsiv vayishma Reuven vayatzileu miyodom, and Reuven was the one who attempted to save his brother Yosef from the hands of his brother. Now, Rashi is addressing a question here and giving an answer. Rashi says, "Ru'u ma ben bini leben chami." Rashi says, "Al shema asid kara shmo. Kedamrina lekamon shmo garim." So Rashi makes 2 points. Point number one is that the name is being called by Leah based on Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, she's anticipating what's going to come down the line. How did she know at the birth of this baby that this baby would turn out to be someone who would not be jealous of his brother, of Yosef, even though Yosef took the Bechorah from him? It's all Al Shema Asit, which is a fascinating concept that you can give a name and the significance of the name will only be revealed much later in history. And then Rashi makes another point, Shma Garim, that there's some very important significance to a name. And this is based on a statement of Rabbi Lazar later on in the Gemara. The Mashah here asks a very basic question. The Torah itself tells us what the meaning of and the choice of this name Reuven is. The Pasuk says, "Vatikra shmo Reuven ki amra ki ro Hashem bi anyi ki ato yevani ishi." That the name Reuven means that Hashem was aware of my anguish, and now my husband, meaning Yaakov, will increase his love towards me. And that's the meaning of the word Reuven. But the Mashah gives an answer, and he says that if you look at the name Reuven, you have the two last letters are Ben, and it's not clear from the Pasuk itself, the explanation given for the name, Why the word Ben is there? In other words, Ru'u Ben, see this Ben. And therefore, what the Chazal are trying to do is to explain and justify the name Reuven with the word Ben. In other words, Leah's statement, Ki Ra Hashem, puts the emphasis on the Reish Aleph Vav of this name Reuven, but not on the Beis Mem so much. And that's the drasha here of our Gemara, that Hashem puts into the mouth of Leah the knowledge of the future. She's not necessarily aware of it, but Re'u ma bein b'ni leben chami. So the emphasis is on on the word ben. That's the Marsha. The Pnei Yoshua asks the same question, but his formulation is slightly different. He says that the pasuk doesn't really give the main reason for the name Reuven, meaning Rabbi Elazar's drasha, but rather it gives a secondary reason. And that's the problem that the Pnei Yoshua, in other words, whereas the Marsha seems to lay down the premise that the name Reuven was coming from Ra Hashem Bionyi, and he's bothered by our drasha, what justifies or engenders our need for this drasha. The Pnei Yoshua asks the Fakerta Kasha, just the opposite. He says, obviously the name Reuven comes from Re'u Ma Beini Levein Chavi. Why then does the Torah offer a different explanation? And the Pnei Yoshua's answer to this question is that Leah doesn't want to explicitly mention Re'u Ma Beini Levein Ben Chami, because included in this explanation would be the fact that she would give birth to Yosef, who would take the Bechorah from Reuven against his will. And if that be the case, the eagerness and desire of Leah to increase the love of her husband Yaakov for her after she gives birth to his first Shevet, meaning Reuven, that would not, she would be working against her own best interests, and instead of accomplishing what she wants to increase the love, it might have the opposite impact, because it's Rachel who's going to give birth to Yosef. And if Yosef is going to be the Bechor, then what's the big deal here? So what? Leah had the firstborn, but that firstborn is not the Bechor. The real true Bechor is Rachel's son, Yosef. And therefore, she doesn't want to put the emphasis here on the fact that Reuven's greatness is that he's going to accept, with a full heart, the transfer of the Bechor from himself to Yosef. Now, the Maskil David, which is the super commentary on Rashi al Torah, Rav David Pardo, who's the author of so many different famous Sfarim, amongst them, of course, the Chasdei David on the Tosefta, he asks the following. What is it here? Is the name Reuven indicative of Ma Beini Levein Ben Chavi? Is the name because of Ra Hashem Es Onyi? And his answer is that even though the pasuk gives a different reason, nevertheless, in the cases of all the Shvatim, consistently, the reason for the name is given first, and then the name. Reuven is the only exception. First it says, Vatikra Shmo Reuven, and then it gives the reason of Kira Hashem Bionyi. And this is what encouraged the Gemara to darshan the name Reuven. Apparently, from the fact that Vatikra Shmo Reuven, even before Kira Hashem Bionyi, there must be something in the name Reuven of significance in and of itself. There must be another reason for that name Reuven. So that's a beautiful insight of Rabbi David Pardo. And you can enhance this by saying that Chazal say that the name of Reuven is Al-Shem Al-Asid, and that was sort of inherent in Leah's choice of the name. Leah is not listed in the famous Brisa Megillah Daf Yudalid of the seven Nevi'os. And therefore, she did not, although she had Ruach HaKodesh, and in this case there's a prophecy about the fact that Reuven will recognize the Yosef as the Bechor without any jealousy, but nevertheless, she wasn't a Nevi'ah in the sense of transmission of Nevuah for all generations. We don't find any prophecy of Leah that's part of the Tanakh, part of the transmission for generations. So when it says Vatikra Shma Reuven, there's something hidden, a deeper meaning in the name Reuven, And that's not something that Leah could explicitly mention, because that's Al Shem HaAsid, and she was not one of those seven women who had the status of Nevi'os. So instead she said, when others asked her, what is the meaning of the choice, the name Reuven? Response to them was, Ki Ra Hashem Bi'oni. The Pnei Yeshua offers an additional answer in which he postulates that the two explanations for the name Reuven are really one and the same. They should be integrated into one whole. When Leah declares, Ki Ra Hashem Bi'oni, Ki Ato Yavani Ishi, she's not really focused on the love of Yaakov because she, as a result of giving birth. Because Leidasa Adayin Lo Noda, at the moment that she gave birth, it was not a known fact that Rachel was a barren woman, she was an Akara, and that Leah was the one who would have the children for Yaakov, and it's very possible, therefore, that Leah would have many more children than Leah. That Rachel would have more children than Leah. So what does Leah really mean when she says, Ki ata now yevani ishi? It wasn't known that Rachel was barren at that time. And that's what the Gemara is answering here. What is the deeper meaning of yevani ishi? And the Gemara says that the name Reuven really reveals the greatness of the difference between Reuven and Esav. And this is what Leah's hinting to Yaakov. Yaakov, you are the Bechor. You took the Bechorah from Esav. And since you, Yaakov, are the Bechor, I, Leah, as the older sister, am the Bechorah, it makes absolute sense that I should marry you. In the original divine plan, Leah was destined to marry Esav. Esav is the firstborn to Yitzchak, and Leah is the firstborn to Lavan. Therefore, the Bechor should marry the Bechor. But now, Yaakov, you are the Bechor, and my position here is that of the Bechorah, and now I've given you your first child. That should increase the love of Yaakov for Leah. So she was sort of implicitly transmitting to Yaakov a message. You know, she cried and cried and cried, Leah, until her eyes became rakos. And Hashem accepted her tefillah. And as a result of that tefillah, instead of her marrying Esav the Bechor, she married Yaakov the true Bechor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now changes the lave, the heart of Yaakov, to one of Ava. Ki ata yevani ishi. The Torah testifies that with the birth of Reuven, Yaakov's love for Leah increased. And all this is based on the fact that the name Reuven indicates the greatness of Reuven. And that's all part of this process of transmitting a subliminal, shall we say, by hint, a message to Yaakov about the fact that Yaakov is the Bechor and she is the Bechorah. The Maratz Chayis says that, I'll read his language, Af Shatora Kosva Tam Acher, Mikomakom Shayach Gam Tama Mavurkan Bigmora, Sharegama Torah Kosva Kamataimim Bishemos Hashvotim. In other words, if you take the case of Yosef, for example, Rachel declares Vatomer Asaf Elokimis Cherpasi, and in the very next pasuk it says Vatikra Shmo Yosef, Lemar Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. So it's quite common for a name, in the case of the Shvatim, to have more than one meaning. And therefore, it shouldn't be any surprise to us that Chazal might offer a second meaning to the name, other than the meaning, or in addition to the meaning that's given in the Torah. Now, it's very interesting that when the Gemara wants to establish here in this drasha of Rabbi Lazar that Esav sold the Bechora out of his own will, you know, he wasn't compelled to do so, the Gemara quotes the pasuk Vayimkar es Bechoroso liYaakov. It doesn't say explicitly that Esav sold the Bechora willingly. It says he sold the Bechora. The real raya is from Psukim that come earlier, in that same context. Yaakov turns to Esav, and he says, Michra kayom es b'choras chali, and Rashi says, Timkar li mechira brura kiyom azeh. What is kayom? Just like the day is sunny, it's clear, there's a light, so too, it should be absolutely crystal clear that you are selling this mechira as a valid and binding sale. Also, there's another pasuk that says, "Vayomer Yaakov yishava li kayom, vayishava lo." And Chazal say, "Ma'u kayom?" What does it mean, "yishava li kayom?" And the many different drushes on the word kayom. One of them is that "ma hayom holy feinu choser." The day passes and it's gone. It's irreversible. You can't bring it back. Af mechiroscha kayemes below charata ubelo chazara. That this mechira is 100% binding. So the Gemara doesn't quote all these different psukim, but it's sufficient to say vayimkar es b'choraso Yaakov. But it's quite clear from all the interpretations of the psukim that surround this pasuk that Esav entered into this sale mirtzono, and he was not coerced. He was not in any way compelled to sell his Bechora. Now let's just review some of the history. We all know this. These are not Chidushim, but just to put the Gemara into its proper perspective. Before his death, Yitzchak turns to Esav, his Bechor, tells him to bring him from the Tzayid, so that he, Yitzchak, will bestow a bracha upon Esav before his death. Rivka overhears the words of Yitzchak, calls Yaakov, tells Yaakov to quickly prepare mat'amim and go into her husband, his father, and make believe, how shall we say, dress up as Esav and before Esav's return to get the bracha. That's what happens. Yitzchak gives the bracha to Yaakov and not to Esav. And after Yitzchak's bracha, Esav comes back from the Soda, and when he tells Yitzchak that he is his son Esav, it says, Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gedol. And the Medrash Tanchuma says that what was the charada? Why was Yitzchak all shooken up? What was he afraid of? Mipnei shechoshash, says the Medrash, Shemi yesh bo avon shegaram lo levarach es Yaakov b'no akotin lifnei Esav b'no agadol. Perhaps he sinned, and as a punishment for his avon, Hashem caused Yitzchak to give the bracha that was designated for Esav, the older son, to the youngest son. Now, Yitzchak hears Esav yell out in his anger, Vayakveni ze pa'amoyim. And that's a pasuk in Breishis Chavav, in Breishis Chav Zayin, pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayakveni ze pa'amoyim. Tanchuma says that when Yitzhak heard this, Vayakveni ze pa'amoyim, this declaration of anger of Esav, he asks him, Ma asalacha? What do you mean? Vayakveni zepamayim. Well, what did he do to you? So Esav's response was, Es b'chorasi lakach, which are the next words in that very same pasuk. So Chazal say that, Omer Yitzchak, Hare charadati, cherdasi, Hoysal she birachti es hakot lifnei agadol, Achshav nizbar she birachti es habachor. It says in the pasuk, Es b'chorasi lakach. Esav himself admits that the b'chora was taken by Yaakov, that Yaakov is the Bechor. Esav implicitly recognizes Yaakov as the genuine Bechor. Therefore, Yitzhak's response is, Gam Baruch Yieh. Now Yitzhak is calm. He realizes that he didn't give the bracha to the wrong person. Adarabba, he gave the bracha to the Bechor. And therefore, Gam Baruch Yieh. And this is what encouraged, or what engendered, the hatred harbored by Esav against Yaakov and his desire to murder Yaakov after Yitzchak's death. Now, if you look carefully in the Gemara quotes two different psukim. The Gemara says, Vayimkar es b'choroso liYaakov, and then after it says, Chazu maksivbe vayistom Esav es Yaakov, and then v'od ksiv, another pasuk, v'yomer achi karosh mo Yaakov ayakveni zeh pamoyim. The first pasuk mentions that Esav hated Yaakov because of the brachos that Yitzchak bestowed upon Yaakov, which Esav of course felt were his brachos. So it's not explicit that he hated Yaakov because Yaakov took the Bechora, but rather that Yaakov received the brachos that were meant for him. The second pasuk explicitly attributes the sinah because of the kinyan that Yaakov made in the Bechora itself. That the Netilas Bechora was something that incurred the wrath of Esav. Now Yaakov takes the Bechora and he passes it on to Yosef. Where is this? Of course, in the brachos and parshas Vayechi, at the end of Sefer Breishis, Vanina satilchem shem echad alachicha, asher lakachta mi miyad hamori becharbi uvekashti. And the Gemara Bava Basra tells us that we should not read this pasuk on a simple, plain level, superficially, that ki'ilu he took with a cherev and with a keshet. The pasuk in Tilim says ki lo bekashti charbi lo toshieni, but rather cherev is tefillah and kashti is bakosha. And this pasuk, the theme of this pasuk, is the bechora that Yaakov was zochet to buy from Esav through his tefillah, and Yaakov takes his bechora now and gives it to Yosef. The Gemara also derives from the pasuk Ephraim and Menashe Keruvim v'Shimon Li that because the Bechora was given from Yaakov to Yosef, therefore Ephraim and Menashe became two Shvatim. Each one would inherit his own portion in Eretz Yisrael like another Shevet. Yosef receives the Bechora, the Pishnayim, as every Bechor receives. So Reuven technically was the Bechor, but nevertheless the Bechor was taken away from Reuven, and after Rachel dies, Yaakov takes the Mita that was in the Oel of Rachel, and he puts in the Oel of Bilhah. Reuven, if you remember, is very upset about this chain of events, and he was Tovea, the elbone of his mother Leah. He says, it was bad enough, says Reuven, that my mother had to suffer from the friction with Rachel. Rachel was a tzara to Leah, and now that Rachel is gone, so now my mother Leah has another tzara. And now she's got Bilhah, who is the shivcha of my aunt Rachel, and now she becomes the tzara to my mother. And in order to undo that situation, he, Reuven, takes the mita of Yaakov out of the oel of Bilhah, and he places the mita of Yaakov, replaces it into the Oel of Leah. And that's what the pasuk means when it says Chilel Yitzue Aviv. And as a result of this sin, the Bechor was taken away from Reuven and transferred over to Yosef. Yosef will get Pishnayim. His two sons, Ephraim and Asher, will be two Shvatim. And when it says Velolus Yaches L'Bechorah, it means that Yosef did not become a complete Bechor. He got only part of Bechorah. Because the Melucha that was originally designated for Reuven because of his status as a Bechor, that Melucha was not actually transferred over to Yosef. That was given to whom? To Yehuda. And the reason for that is that Yehuda was the right personality, the right candidate for Melucha. And the truth is that it's clear from the Rishonim that even if Reuven had not been guilty of the crime of Chil Yitzue Aviv, the Malchus would have been designated, would have been transferred over to Yehuda in any event. Yehuda was the candidate for Malchus. So that dimension of the Bechorah was meant from the get-go to be taken from Reuven and given to Yehuda. But the rest of the Bechorah, to get a Pishnayim, that status of Bechorah was meant for Reuven, but he forfeited that status. And that's called Bechilo Yitzue Aviv. Now, it's very interesting that Leah makes a Kal Vachomer in which she says that Reuven is greater than Esav. I mean, could it be that the reason why Reuven was not jealous of Yosef is because he himself, Reuven, recognized that it was due to his sin that the Bechorah was ripped away from him? And that's why he wasn't jealous of Yosef. So what's the big deal here that Reuven was not jealous of Yosef? But you can give a number of different answers to that question. One of them is that I think man by very nature, when he sees greatness that's his and now it's taken away from him, he should naturally feel a sense of jealousy. And somehow Reuven was able to overcome that sense of jealousy. And not only that, a second answer we could offer is that it would make sense for Reuven to be jealous of Yosef because Reuven never, as Esav did in his case, entered into some sort of willing transaction to transfer the possession of the Bechorah over to Yosef. So if in the case of Esav, Esav harbors resentment and jealousy to Yaakov when Esav himself willingly sold the Bechorah, then Kol Shekein Reuven, from whom the Bechorah was taken against his will, given over, transferred to Yosef, would certainly harbor a resentment to Yosef. And yet he didn't do so. Reuven, on the contrary, wants to save Yosef. And in fact, Reuven did save Yosef to some extent, when he told his brothers, let's not kill Yosef, but rather we'll throw him into the bar. Vayomer aleihem Reuven al tishpachu dam, ashlicho sol habar. And the reason for this was, l'man hatzil oso miyonam. And the Gemara is clear that the Bechorah was given to Yosef before Yosef was sold. At the moment that Reuven was Machal Yitzue Aviv, that's when the Bechorah was taken from Reuven and given over to Yosef. And if that be the case, when Reuven wants to save Yosef, which is historically later on, from the Mechira, from the desire of the brothers to kill Yosef, that already sheds a light on the Milah of Reuven, how great he was, that even though Yosef was now, had already taken that which was his, which was Reuven's, the Bechorah, nevertheless, Reuven is going to save his brother Yosef. He doesn't harbor that resentment. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that Yaakov gave the Bechorah to Yosef later on. It was a schar given. It was bizchus the schar of Yosef that he, Yosef, sustained and saved all of his family in Mitzrayim when he was the Mashber. And that's why Yaakov gave the Bechorah to Yosef. And if that be the case, it's a little bit strange because, as the Marsha points out, here you get the impression that Reuven is being praised for this mile of this greatness that he saves Yosef, even though Yosef took the Bechorah. I mean, Yosef didn't get the Bechorah until much later on, when he was the viceroy of Mitzrayim. So, well, this is a question that I think we would have to take up on another occasion. Our time is up for now, but Mirtz Hashem Bli Neder, we'll try to come back to this question later on. And please remind me that in the Gemara we're up to Rus.